We turn in the Word of God to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "Measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Our text this evening is found in verse 6 of this chapter, and 7, verses 6 and 7. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four, verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." It is true what the prophet Isaiah declares about the unbelieving world. The wicked are like the troubled sea. When a hard wind blows and a storm settles upon the sea, waves are tossed one against another. And when that takes place, then the mire and the dirt are cast up. The world in which we live is characterized exactly by the same thing. Perhaps the best word that we can use to describe what is true of our present world and of our society is the word agitation. Everyone, it seems, is restless and edgy. There is the fear of the unknown. There are loud protests that are always heard about different causes in this world. There are arguments about politics, the economy, and religion. The people of society are not content. There's dysfunctional and unorganized homes and families. Everyone is quick to find and to lay blame on someone for unforeseen calamities. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. We understand that the ultimate cause for such agitation, of course, is that of sin. And all of that began when man himself fell into such sin. As we said this morning, it's man's fault that all of this is present and here in our society. But surely this agitation that we see about us in society and in our world is caused by God himself. When God sends the various things that we find in this present world that man deserves on account of his sin. Natural catastrophes, wars and threats of wars, lawlessness in society, they all contribute to man's discontentment and his agitation. That's what characterizes our world. Tonight we're going to examine closely another cause of agitation in our present world. That is the economy. A sermon of this sort could not really come at a better time. We have problems, I mean real problems, as far as our economy here in the United States is concerned. The people of our own society have gotten themselves into real trouble by means of their frivolous spending and their greed. And now we face a real dilemma as a country, don't we? What's going to happen to our homes? What's going to happen to all of those extras and all of those comforts that we have been so used to in our lives? What's going to happen with employment? Am I going to keep my job? These are questions that a lot of people are raising presently in our own society. And everyone is looking right now to elect a new president that promises them the world on a silver platter. What's going to happen in our world? People seem to be running scared. Child of God who has found peace in Christ now sits back and he observes. Here's but another sign of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at the end of time. It is a sign that we watch in order that we might see what God has now in store for you and for me as well as this world. In other words, the child of God in all of this really does not panic. And he does not panic because he understands that everything, including our own economy, is in the hands of a sovereign God who rules over all things. This is not some random sign that indicates that Christ is returning, but this sign, together with all of the other signs that we have been considering, fits. Just as another piece fits into the puzzle. We see this fitting together with all of the other signs in order to reveal to you and to me the return of Jesus Christ. So tonight we're going to consider how all of this fits as well. Consider with me, people of God, economic imbalance or trouble. In the first place, we're going to consider a great divide that exists in this world. And secondly, a clear harbinger. And then finally, a divine control. When we talk about the Great Divide, of course, we're not talking about anything geographic. We're talking about our economy. And the vision that John sees in the text that we're considering now this evening stands in connection with a much larger context. And in fact, if we are to understand the particular verses that we are going to consider, we have to see them within the context of the whole. In Revelation 5, the Apostle John saw a book, and that book had on it seven different seals. The book was sealed shut. And people looked about for one who was worthy of opening that book, and none was found, so much so that John himself wept because he wanted to see that book opened. At last, one did appear. It was a lamb who was slain and who was now alive, and who, through his shed blood, became worthy of opening all seven of those seals of that book. The first four seals, when they were opened, loosed four different horsemen with their horses. And each one of those horses was a different color. First horse was a white horse. The second was a red horse. The third horse that we are going to be considering tonight was black, and that last horse was pale. Each of these horses ran through the earth, fulfilling a certain calling for which God and the Lamb, who was opening those seals of the book, remember, had sent him forth. Now, we're not going to go into the meaning of each one of those horses tonight. We're going to concentrate our attention on that third horse, or that black horse. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we made mention of the red horse and said that the red horse was really wars and rumors of wars, one of the signs that we've considered. And we know that because of its color. Red is the color of bloodshed and killing. So that horse represented wars and other killings in this world. The horse we consider tonight is black, and that, of course, is going to stand in close connection with its symbolism or significance as well. But concerning the rider of that horse, or the horseman himself, we find in the passage we consider tonight that he held in his hand a balance. Now, most of us, I hope anyway, know what a balance is. It's a vertical stand, and then on either side of that vertical stand, there's a dish or a plate of sorts that is supported by the vertical stand itself. And the balance was used as a means to measure weight. In other words, if you were to go to a market in order to buy barley or wheat or oil or so on, they would take a certain weight, metal weight, and they would place it on one side of that balance, and it would go down. Then in order to get an equal portion of that barley or so on, they would weigh that barley into the other side until finally that weight would go up and it would balance off, so you knew that the particular measure that you're receiving on this side was that weight. That's what a balance was used for. So the food item that was placed in that balance was offset by the particular weight that was set on the other side. And in a certain sense, it was for that reason, too, that a balance was used as judgment. The worth of something was oftentimes considered and determined by the weight on that balance. That the horseman here, or the rider of this horse, had in his hand this balance meant that his duty was to determine the distribution of the world's wealth, not only to the nations in general, but to particular people within the nations too. He received this instruction now from the Lamb in verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, that's the voice of the Lamb now, I measure a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. That instruction which was given to this rider was very specific. He was to weigh out to men either a measure of wheat or 3 measures of barley. Now, without getting into all of the details, a measure was considered the amount of food for one day. If it was a measure of wheat, that was the amount of wheat that you could get for eating in one day. And barley, since barley was cheaper than wheat, could be measured out in 3 measures for a day. And you could buy either that 1 measure of wheat or those 3 measures of barley for a penny. Again, without going into details, a penny in Scripture oftentimes signified a day's wages. So the idea was is that this rider on this horse was to measure out to different nations, different peoples of this world, enough food to eat for one day. That was it. He was to measure out to the peoples and to the nations of this world something that was at poverty level, almost a hand-to-mouth existence, a day-by-day existence. And then he was commanded, on the other hand, see that thou touch not the wine and the oil. In other words, that flows freely. You may not limit that to anyone. And what was meant exactly by that is the oil and the wine being the food of a rich man in this world would not be touched. You are to distribute to people in this world just enough to eat for a day, while others in this world may have as much as they want. And there's the great divide. This rider was to divide between those who have and those who have not. Or if we want to use the phrase, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer in this world. Now, that vision is not really all that difficult for us to interpret. The horse is black. And that color is the color of scarcity and want. Oftentimes, scarcity and want that's caused by famine and by poverty. There's a number of passages that speak of that word black in the Old Dispensation. We read one of them, Lamentations 5, verse 10. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. But the scarcity and the poverty that is referred to here in this particular color of this horse was not caused by famine as much as it was caused by economics. Through the history of this world, there have always been those haves and those have-nots in society. There have been those who grow fat in their wealth and in their ease, while many in this world are given very little in the way of this earth's necessities, much less the comforts of this world. And most of us, maybe even all of us sitting here tonight, do not really fully understand the impact of this sort of a thing in the world. Even the poor, it seems, in our own land have enough at least to eat and a little extra for the comforts of this present life. When my family and I lived in Jamaica, I was embarrassed, really embarrassed by what I possessed as a middle-class American in comparison to the people there in Jamaica. I lived among people who had nothing more than a one-room shack. That's all they owned, if they owned it, with a tin roof above their heads. We complain when our beds begin to sag a little bit in the middle and we get sore backs from those beds. Well, they had little cots in that one-room shack that were so thin and with years of being beaten down were far beyond their usefulness. That's what they slept on every day. And they did live from hand to mouth. The Lord gave them enough money or enough in this world's goods anyway, to be able to barter for living one day at a time. When I went to Ghana, I saw this in an even more striking way when I visited the bush country over there. Little children, you're well fed here by your parents. When I was in Ghana, I saw little boys and little girls running around in the dirt with large bellies because of malnutrition. They didn't have enough food to eat for one day. Most often they were naked, or they had just enough to wear around their midsection, and that was all. They lived in dry clay huts with thatch roofs. No water, very little water, and absolutely no sanitation whatsoever. The Lord distributes to some wealth in abundance, while distributing to others next to nothing in this world. We may not realize it, but that black horse with his rider has been running throughout the nations and has been running throughout history, creating a huge gulf between the rich and the wealthy and those who are poor, between those who are of noble blood because of their wealth and those who are servants to the rich. And that still happens today. The famous and the powerful of this world, the upper class, rules over the lower class. These same rich and powerful people snub their noses on that poor man and despise him for his poverty. In other words, just as there has been created by God strife between the nations of this world and strife between the various races of this world, so also God has caused that there would be strife between the various classes of this world as well. The poor revolting against the rich, and the rich oppressing the poor. We see that happening. In the past, we've seen that happen, and we still see it happening in the present. What is more, we can also say that this sign appears in our own land and in our own economy. One cannot help but look at the economy of our country right now. Right now. Banks have made foolish loans to people who spend their money so frivolously that they are unable to pay their debt back to the bank. Men have borrowed money without having ample money in their own lives in order responsibly to pay back the banks those debts have incurred upon them. The banks have themselves given loans to people who are already up to their ears in debt. How foolish could they be? And now the banks have next to nothing to be able to loan anymore to anyone because they don't have the money themselves. And the government can come up with billions of dollars in order to bail out the banks of today, and we have a temporary fix on our economy. But it's only temporary. This past week, or past couple of weeks, the stock market has fallen so drastically. So great were the drops that in recent history there has not been a drop in the stock market so bad as that. People are losing not only the interest that they have on their stocks, but they're losing the principal that they have on those stocks as well. And because the economy is so bad, we find that People are losing employment and their jobs. It's on the rise. Companies move out of our own land, foreign lands, where labor is so much cheaper. Men begin to worry about how they're going to make it in this world without their homes, without their second car, and without their toys that they have been free to purchase in the years that have gone by. And all to what end? The only ones that do not seem to be hit so hard by our economy, the rich and the powerful. Why would they be hit? They have plenty of money. Money that they can use to finance about anything that they want. The rider on the black horse is putting his balance to work in our own society. And we begin to see it happen again. The middle class in our society begins to disappear. Presidents even proposing things that will cause that middle class to disappear. And you'll have a great rise between the rich and, or a great gap between the rich and the poor. It's widening. And because this is happening in the United States and our economy, we find it beginning to happen all over the world because the world is affected by our economy as well. One wonders when all of the panic and the mayhem will begin. In it all, the child of God who lives by faith is given the spiritual eyes to see that all of these things must come to pass in order that Jesus Christ Himself come. Here's another sign that you and I have been given of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. As we have mentioned, all of these things are labor pains. Labor pains that hurt our wallets as well as anyone else.